No prizes for guessing that we're turning back to Exodus chapter 14 one final time tonight. We'll be moving to Pastures New next Sunday evening, DV. But let's read from Exodus 14, and we're beginning to read, please, at verse 13. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. If you'd like to follow the reading, it's page 76 in the Pew Bible, page 76. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honour upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honour upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Well, it was on this day in 1944 that 76 RAF personnel escaped from a Nazi prisoner of war camp in Poland, led by squadron leader Roger Bushell in what came to be known as the Great Escape. In 1943, under the leadership of Bushell, the prisoners started digging three large tunnels known as Tom, Dick and Harry, all emanating from huts in the compound. The tunnels were 30 feet deep in an attempt to avoid German detection and were designed to run more than 300 feet into the woods outside the camp. The prisoners begged, borrowed and stole equipment that enabled them to line the tunnels with wood, run a railway and electric lighting from entry to exit, and ventilate the tunnels with primitive air conditioning. They also made civilian clothes, maps, compasses, and German passes to help them escape. According to German accounts, after the escape, the materials missing from the camp included 4,000 bedboards, 1,699 blankets, 161 pillowcases, 34 chairs, 478 spoons, 30 shovels, 1,000 feet of electric wire, 600 feet of rope, 192 bed covers, and 3,424 towels. Quite a list. All this was done in secret amid a fantastic security operation policed by the prisoners themselves. All went well for several months, but then Tunnel Tom was discovered in September 1943, just as it reached the woods. Tunnel Dick was abandoned for storage, but the prisoners pushed on with Tunnel Harry, which was ready in early 1944. And as we've already said, it was on the night of the 24th of March 1944 that 76 RAF officers made their escape. 75 years later, we need another great escape. You see, Britain is facing the greatest crisis since World War II. Perhaps you didn't realise that. Folks, we need to face up to the stark reality that if we do not make a clean break from the European Union, they will do to us what Hitler failed to do. You see, during the war, the Republic of Ireland supported the Nazis to the extent that the German U-boats which were attacking our shipping were based in the Republic in order to intercept and destroy our supply line. Hitler promised, "When I win the war, I will give you Northern Ireland." Today, the EU is using Northern Ireland in exactly the same way as Hitler did, to break up and to destroy the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. If Parliament approves the treacherous withdrawal agreement this week, Northern Ireland will be the sacrificial lamb and will effectively cease to be part of the United Kingdom. Now, can you see why I have been banging on about Brexit over the last 2 months? When the Lord led me into the ministry in 1997, his marching orders were Ezekiel 33, verse 7. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." Back in biblical times, though a city had strong walls and double gates, security was not complete without a watchman in his place, ready to sound the alarm when he saw anything out of the ordinary. His job was to warn the people of impending danger. He would pay with his life if he failed to inform the city of an enemy's approach. If the watchman was not alert, cities could fall, territories could be lost, and many people could be slaughtered or forced into captivity. And I, for one, folks, don't want to be like those described in Isaiah 56 and verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I reckon there are a lot of dumb dogs in Ulster tonight. So if you haven't been praying for Brexit, I'm tempted to say that you should hang your head in shame. If you haven't been praying for Brexit, you have certainly been failing in your duty. Your duty to the Lord and your duty to your country. And I want to say that you need to start doing your duty tonight. In other words, you need to start praying tonight. You see, there is no time to lose. In Exodus 14, you've got the instruction, and then you've got the construction. And then to finish, you've got the destruction. The destruction. The instruction, the construction, and the destruction. What about the instruction? Let's begin there. Verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod. Now that's a very important instruction that God gave to Moses. Lift thou up thy rod. Well, you say tonight, what do you mean? God telling Moses to lift up an old stick? Well, you see, folks, the importance in that statement lies in the fact that the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament is described as the rod. The rod. You remember in Isaiah chapter 11, there's a great messianic prophecy there where it speaks of the rod out of the stem of Jesse. That's speaking of Christ. If you rewind a wee bit in the Old Testament and you go back to the book of Numbers, you'll find there you have Aaron's rod. Numbers 17, we don't have time to turn to it tonight, but in that chapter, Numbers 17, read it when you go home, there's been a rebellion against Moses and the leadership in Israel. And the Lord says there's only one way to sort this rebellion out. Get a rod from each of the tribes of Israel and put the rod into the tabernacle overnight. Well, that's exactly what Moses did. He took a rod from each of the tribes, placed it in the tabernacle, and waited until the morning. And then he goes in and he discovers that a miracle has taken place. Aaron's rod has budded, it has blossomed, and it has brought forth fruit. And folks, the point that I'm trying to make is that rod in the tabernacle all those years ago is a beautiful picture of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You need a Savior tonight to get rid of your filthy sins. We have the perfect Savior tonight for you. He is risen. And he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Yes, praise God, tonight Jesus Christ is alive. And so, folks, we tonight, in a sense, are doing what Moses did at the Red Sea. We are lifting up the rod. And on Friday in the open air, weather permitting, Brother Kenny and myself, that's what we'll be doing again. We'll be lifting up the rod. Lifting up the risen Christ. Lifting up the rod. You see, whenever you lift up the rod, you always get the victory. Whenever you lift up Christ, you always get the victory. Whenever you lift up the church, you're bound to lose.
Whenever you lift up yourself, you're bound to lose. But oh, if only we would lift up Christ, then we are assured of victory. You want to know how the Israelites got the victory at the Red Sea? Because the rod was lifted up. May God help us to keep lifting up the rod. May God help us to keep lifting up Christ. Pray for us. Please pray for us as we go out on Friday. Even pray beforehand that the weather will be reasonable. I don't know what it is. I said this to Kenny the other day. We'll maybe change the day of the outreach because 9 out of 10 Fridays seem to be wet. I don't really know why it is. But we'll pray and we'll hopefully get out. So here's the instruction. We need to move on to the construction. You see, the Lord performs a mighty miracle here at the Red Sea, and he constructs a pathway through the sea. You notice what it tells us there in verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. God could have caused the Red Sea to freeze over so that the Israelites walked on top of the water on the frozen ice, on the frozen sea. But he didn't freeze the sea. He made a pathway through it. He constructs a pathway through it. Wonder why that is. You ever think about it? Why was it that the Lord took the people right down into the midst of the sea? Now mark that. That's a phrase that's used in this chapter. The midst of the sea. Time and time again this phrase occurs. The midst of the sea. The midst of the sea. The midst of the sea. What does that mean? It means the deepest part of the sea. You see, away with this nonsense that you hear people talk about today. Oh, the crossing the Red Sea wasn't all it was cracked up to be. It was just that the Jews just crossed over in a shallow part. Well, no, the Bible says it was the midst of the sea. It was the deepest part of the sea. And the Lord takes his people, his ancient people, right down into the deepest part of the sea. Now it's dry ground, dry land all the way. They might as well have been walking on a pavement. It might as well have been concrete because it was as dry as a bone. And that in itself was a miracle. I believe we have a picture here of what the Lord does when he saves a soul. He takes them right down. Until the sinner is right down in the depths and says, "Hell is too good for me." The Holy Spirit humbles the individual. And it is a wonderful work, folks. I want to say it's a miracle in itself how the Holy Spirit humbles a sinner before they are converted. And what is the Holy Spirit doing? He is bringing them to that point where they will realize all hope in me is gone. And they look away to the cross. They look away to the crucified one. Because there is life for a look at the crucified one. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Every one of us tonight who have been truly born again, the Lord had to do that with us. You know, he had to take us right down to the bottom of the Red Sea. We thought there was no hope. But then, bless God, the gospel message came. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And my, that was music to our ears. It was cold water to a thirsty soul. Oh, there's the instruction, there's the construction, there's the destruction. What a destruction took place in Exodus 14. Look at it, what it says. Verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Here you have a hard border. Tell me this, have you heard that phrase in recent times? Hard border? Nobody seems to want a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Well, I'm not getting into that tonight, but all I'll say is that here in Exodus chapter 14, you've got a hard border. The waters that had been divided suddenly return again, and the sea returns to normal. You see, some people don't realize that there are two reasons why the Lord caused the sea to return. Two reasons why the Lord brought the waters of the Red Sea back together again. Number one, so that the Egyptians would be destroyed. But number two, and this is what people often forget, so that the Israelites wouldn't be able to go back into Egypt. You see, the Lord did not want his people back in Egypt, back in bondage. And they can't go back now because there's a sea between them and their bondage. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord not only brings sinners out of their lost condition, but he also keeps them and preserves them so that they don't go back to the old life. Every one of us, tonight we have been kept by the power of God. If it wasn't for the power of God, we definitely wouldn't be in an evening service. But the Lord has preserved us by his grace. And yes, we have failed him along the way and we've grieved him and how we lament the times that we have been unfaithful to him. But praise God, he hasn't allowed us to go back into the old life and to throw in the towel. He hasn't allowed us to throw up the head and say, no more church for me, no more Christianity for me, I've had enough. Bless God, we haven't got to that stage, because he has put a Red Sea between us and our old life. There's a separation, and there's a barrier. Aye, there's a hard border. No backstop here. Not find a backstop in Exodus 14, or as I prefer to call it, backstab. That's what the backstop is. It's a backstab to little Ulster to try to tear us away from the rest of the United Kingdom and drive us into a united Ireland. Folks, that's the reality of it tonight. Most people don't realise it. They're half asleep. Don't realise what's going on. And because they don't realise what's going on and what's happening, then they don't pray. What's the big deal? Why do we need to pray? Pray for Brexit. Most people aren't praying for Brexit. You get some people who are praying about Brexit, but they're not praying for Brexit. If only, folks, if only we knew what's going on behind the scenes, I tell you, we would be praying. May God help us this week. I don't know what's going to happen on Friday. That's in the Lord's hands. I don't know what's going to happen on the 12th of April. I don't know what's going to happen the 22nd of May or the 30th of June or whatever. It's all in the Lord's hands, and his hands are more than capable. But I know, folks, that the very least he expects us to do is to pray. Lord, while for all mankind we pray of every clime and coast, O hear us for our native land. the land we love the most.